Welcome to church, and a special welcome to those who are visiting us today or listening online. And my name is Yong Lan. Helping me in today's service is our musicians Adele, Linda, and Rosemary. And reading to us from the Bible will be Lynn, and leading us in prayer is Rosemary, and Trevor will be bringing our Bible teaching today. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for God's way according to His Word, the Bible, and always trying to put those words that we learn into our life. We invite you to know God with us today. May I just invite Trevor, our pastor, to give us a snapshot of his teaching today.
Thanks, Yong Lan. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. Do you know why I'm saying a Happy New Year? No, because it's Advent. And for the church calendar, church year starts in December. Or the first, well, it may not always be in December, but it's around this time of the year, and it's Advent. And Advent is a time we remember not only that sure as Jesus Christ came the first time, He will come again. And so that's Advent. So it's a time of leading up to the coming of Christ, reminding us of the certainty that as sure as He came in the past, He's coming again in the future. And so what better to prepare ourselves than to read from the short little letter in the New Testament that's 2 Thessalonians of Paul's, where Paul actually addresses this. And so today we're going to be looking at the first of three little Bible teaching times in that, encouragement to the discouraged. Yep.
Looking forward to the sentence of scripture for today is, "In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame." So I invite you now to do our first song. Sing our first song. It's a new song, I believe, Rosemary.
It is. Because we're leading into Advent, we're going to be singing this song over the next few weeks, and it is an Advent song. It is called My Heart Delights, and it talks about how God sent Jesus down to earth, and like Trevor said, we are assured that He will return again. But it gives our hearts delight to know that He came to earth. He is who He was, the Son of God, and that He will again come. And in the meantime, we can delight in Him as we live for Him. So we're going to all stand. We're just going to sing it through. It repeats itself. There's no fancy bits in the song, so you know you don't have to think. So as you feel confident, you can just join along. Let's see how we go. Let's stand. My heart delights.
Clothed in this
service.
Thank you. Well, it's time to greet one another. You, you. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. We ought to admit our sins to God at all times, and especially when we come together like this, to give thanks for the benefits we have received from him, to offer the praise that is due to him, to hear his holy word, and to ask him to supply whatever we need. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who repent according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God desires that no one should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. We confess our sins in response to his call. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord for his good.
His steadfast love endures
forever. The Bible reading this morning is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You can find it on page 1190 of your pew Bibles or on the screen or printed in your news and notes. Before Lynn comes up to read, let us just pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I just invite Lynn to come and read.
Reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Lynn. Would you open up your news and notes, if you've not opened up your Bible, and inside the news and notes you'll find that Bible reading, if you've not already got it there in front of you, opened up in front of you. And we'll be using that today as our ready reckoner reference to the scriptures itself that's there. Young Lan's prayed, and so I'll press on. Well, this morning we turn to the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. And I'm told from Greeks that when you say, or those who have been to anyone been to Thessalonica? Put your hands up. Thessaloniki. You're supposed to use the big L's at the end, seemingly at the end, Thessaloniki, all right. So Paul's writing this letter. It's a second letter of his to the church in Thessalonica. I'm not going in today into how the church came to Thessalonica, how Christians started there. You can actually take a note now and just look at that in Acts 17, the story. It's quite a good read. It's all a good read, the Bible is, of course it is, you know. But it's quite an interesting read as to how the church came to Thessalonica. Well, this morning we turn to the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, and it's to the church, to Christians who met in Thessalonica. Not to the world, not to the village, not to the town, but to the church, to the Christians that actually met in that town. It's around 51 AD, and from what we discover in the letter, it was written and sent only a few months after his first letter and within the church's first year. Okay? It's very interesting, that is. Why would Paul need to write a second letter to the church so soon after writing his first letter? It tells us that Paul had more to say to them than what he'd already written in his first letter. That's obvious. But not that he'd forgotten anything, or that it was his plan to write a second letter with more to tell them or to more to teach them. Rather, it had come to his awareness. Rather, something had come up. Something had come to Paul's attention about the progress of the church in Thessalonica, and that it concerned him. And he wanted them to know what he had to say about that as a trusted apostle, as the one whom God used to plant that church there in Thessalonica, one authorized by Christ, and he's being concerned for their spiritual and eternal welfare. And so he quickly wrote this second letter. And because his second letter was written so soon after his first, what he wanted them to know must have been really important. Not that any else of the scriptures are not important than this, but just that urgency of writing another letter so soon after the first time, so soon after the church has been planted there in Thessalonica, it ought to be saying to us, well, look, this is pretty important. He's obviously wants something for them to know that's important, it's serious, it's urgent for them to know now. It couldn't be left to another time. It had to be dealt with straight away. And so their attention, Paul hoped, would be captured and that they would receive what Paul had to say as urgent, serious, and really important for them to know. And with this in mind, our attention ought to be taken captive too. All right? So that's how we come to this letter of 2 Thessalonians. Okay, you've written a second letter, Paul. You know, this is pretty important, all right? Okay, what is it? What is it you want to say? Okay. On Thursday afternoon, I got called out to Concord Hospital. David Anthony is still sick. And David, if you're listening in, we hope and pray that you get well soon. He's been quite sick for a couple of weeks now. And so I got called out to pray, to visit and to pray for an elderly gentleman and his wife in Concord Hospital. And on my way out to Concord Hospital, this sign grabbed my attention. It grabbed my attention. Santa is coming. It was located in a very prominent position on the side of the road so that all wouldn't miss it, flashing on and off. It certainly did grab my attention that I pulled over on my way back from the hospital and took this photo. And I thought, what a great little illustration that I can use on Sunday in the first of these three little sermon series. Not that I'm excited, not that I'm at all excited about seeing Santa, all right? No, I like Santa. I'm going to be Santa in a couple of weeks' time here at the preschool. But this, don't tell any of the kids, all right? That's top secret. But this is what Christmas has become for many. It's all about looking forward to Santa coming. And I felt a little sad, and I felt discouraged as a Christian, you know? Christmas is about Jesus coming. Christmas is about Jesus coming into the world and coming again, all right? Paul had heard that someone had told this young church, oh, Jesus hasn't come. Jesus has already returned. He's already come. We've missed out, all right? We've missed out. And so we read in chapter 2, verses 1 and to 3, these words. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. And so there we have the reason, the urgency, the seriousness, the importance of why Paul wrote this second letter so soon after his first letter. He doesn't want them to be discouraged. He doesn't want them to be deceived. He doesn't want them to be distracted. All right? He doesn't want them to be uncomfortable and disturbed by all that's been told to them about this. Jesus has not yet come. He will come, and get ready. All right? So what does Paul say? How does he go about telling them this? Well, he doesn't go straight in. Before actually correcting what they've been told, the very first chapter is about, he begins by first encouraging the discouraged. And so chapter 1 we're looking at today. And so let's do this like we would a Bible study today. I'm going to ask a few questions. Every now and then I'll get you to answer them, all right? Others I'll say, no, that's a rhetorical one. I'm answering that one, all right? But every now and then I might just get you to answer, okay? So let's do this like we would do a Bible study. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. Let me read them first. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, Paul starts off by telling who's writing the letter. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And instantly they would have remembered, oh yeah, they were the guys who brought the church to us only a few months ago. Not that long ago. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, Acts 17. And then he says, the letter is addressed to the church. As I said earlier on, it's not to the village, it's not to the world, it's to the church. And so often we have a little problem sometimes as Christians in our Bible study groups, and sometimes we think, oh, this is for the whole world to know, Yeah, yes, it is for the whole world today. But the letter and the scriptures are for God's people. They are for the Christians first to live it out and to put it into practice. And often that information is there contained. And so this letter is firstly written to Christians. This is a message for you guys, how to live in the light of this information that you've been told. And the first thing he says, he addresses to the churches, he addresses them as Christians. And look there at verse 1, how does he describe them? He describes them as in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why Paul would describe them in this way. Remember, he wants to first encourage the discouraged. He wants to encourage the discouraged. Now, this is not a rhetorical question. This is one you can answer. If you have something very valuable and something very special, what do you usually do with it? Put it in the bank, all right? If it's money or if it's assets that way, what else? All right? You might insure it. Yeah, okay. What if you've got a ring or a letter or something that's, yeah? Yeah, Diane? Sorry? You might show someone. Yeah, okay. All right. Ah, thanks, Kristen. You would keep it safe, all right? You wouldn't sort of put it out in the obvious if it's a very expensive ring or a very expensive watch or something, yeah, or something valuable. You wouldn't put it out in the open. You would put it somewhere safe. You would most probably put it not in a garbage bin, or you wouldn't put it in, you might as well put it in somewhere like a drawer or somewhere safe or in a safe itself. You would put it in something, okay, and hide it. Paul describes here, when he uses these words, I think that's unusual, describe us as in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you get it? There's no one safer to be in than in God, right? And in Jesus Christ. He starts off by reminding them that they are safe. They are in God. They are in Jesus Christ. Paul uses that phrase so often, en Christo, and I often preach on it often, in Christ. And that's to remind the church nothing will ever separate them from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. There is no more valuable place to be, no more safe place to be than where you as a Christian are, safe in God. And living in a world can often make that distraction. We can often think, oh, I don't feel safe, all right? And we can easily allow ourselves to sort of step out of that and think, oh, am I really safe in God? And Paul's reassuring them, yes, you are safe in God. And that's why he says the next two words as well. It's just not just a greeting for the heck of saying it, all right? Oh, hello, greetings to you. What are the two words that he actually says there in verse 2? Can someone tell me? Grace and peace to you. Again, who from? The Reverend Trevor Young. No, good. Where who from? From God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the main source coming from. What do you understand grace to mean? What do you understand grace to mean? Grace, yeah, Brent? Purity? Grace actually means in the Greek two things. It means, firstly, God's enabling, God's gift, God's to enable you. And so when we pray, it is by grace you have been saved, not through works. We're saying, we have been saved by the enabling of God as a gift, all right? And so when we pray at the end of church, and I don't know if we're doing it today, young man, or if it's another time, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. We're saying, may God enable us. May God grant us the gift, the enabling to so do just that. And so he's starting off here by reminding them that they are safe in God and that may God grant them the enabling to know that to be true, that they can be reassured and at peace. They don't have the FOMO, all right? What's FOMO? Fear of missing out, all right? The fear of missing out. So can you hear the whole purpose of it all? They're all panicking. Christ has come. We've missed out. Instead of correcting it straight up, he goes and says, keep still. Calm down. You are in God. You are safe. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that when you come to the scriptures like this, that we should pray. Lord, don't let me gloss over quickly things that I may find more meaningful if I just stewed on the verse for a couple more minutes or half an hour or so and just see the depth of what's in there. Okay. All right. Now, let's look now at verses 3 and 5. Let me read them out to you. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So let's first look there at verses 3 through to 5 there. Okay. All right. What is Paul thankful for about the church in Thessalonica? Can you see there, verse 3? What's he thankful about? Their faith. Faith is growing. Their faith is growing more and more. Okay? He's seen that in them. All right? Faith is always located in something or someone. All right? You're all exercising faith right at the very moment. We all are. I'm exercising faith in the floor of this church, all right? It's meant to hold me up. You're exercising faith in the pew that you have sat in, which you thought nothing about, because pews are meant to hold you up, and they're on the floor, which is meant to hold you up. So none of you actually tested the pew to see if it would work, did you? No, all right? That's faith. We can't see the air that we breathe, but we breathe it. We exercise faith. Faith is simple. That is, it's just trusting in something to do what it's meant to do. Faith is trusting in God, is to trust in God for what he's able to do because of who he is and what he's promised to do. And this has been increasing. He's noticed it in the church. In those few months or so, that first year or so, of actually they're becoming Christians. Their faith is growing and growing and growing. What else is growing in there? Their love for one another. Their faith and their love is growing for one another. This has obviously come back to Paul from most likely Timothy, or from one of the people who have sent the first letter to them and reported back on how the church is going there to Paul. And so he's aware of what's there. And so that's encouraged him, all right? And so what else does he say? And I think the question we ought to ask ourselves at this point, is that something that Paul would say about our church? Is that something Paul would say about you, about me? Oh, that church, Abbotsford Anglican, wow, over the years, their faith is growing more and more. Their love for one another is increasing from then since I last came a couple of years ago. And what about then, he goes on to say, he's pretty impressed with his church at Thessalonica. He goes on and he boasts about them now in verse 4. What does he boast about them to the other churches? Their perseverance. Yeah, their perseverance. Their strength to keep on keeping on and move on, you know. When all worldly wisdom would suggest to question your faith in God, to chuck it in and not press on, these Christians in Thessalonica just ploughed on. And the rest would follow in their wake. What Christians that you know of, those positive Christians that set an example for you, that just plough on and keep going, and you know that there's really hardships going on in their life, but they are strong in the Lord, they're realistic about life and how difficult it is, but they mention, but the Lord is helping me. The Lord is strengthening me. The Lord is helping me. Think about someone. Just think about those people now, right? Paul boasts about those people at Thessalonica. In a prayer, thank God for those who are positive Christians in your life. Encourage them. Give thanks to God for them. Boast about them. All right. And now he goes on in verses 6 to 10. Let me read to verses 6 to 10. Okay. God is just. Oh, verse 5, first thing. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Okay. What's Paul saying here? In verse 5, what he's saying about here is that God, when he chose those people there to be Christians, to respond to the gospel, God's judgment about that was right. It was just, because it's obvious now in the way that these Christians are living by their faith in the face of persecution and opposition and trials and difficulties. And that's what Paul says. All this is evidence. Your perseverance, your keeping on is obvious proof that God's choice of you was right, that you are worthy of the kingdom of God. What does Paul mean by that? He means simply that you are one who lives under the rule, the kingship of God, that by choosing to live life God's way in his family, under his rule, you are right in doing so and are rightly being chosen by God, for which you are suffering. God is just. God is doing the right thing there. And he goes on now in verses 6 to 10 to say, look, be encouraged, right? It is difficult being in this world, but God has promised something. Verses 6 through to 10. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On that day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. How is that an encouragement to the church there in Thessalonica? Seems pretty. How does that make you feel, hearing that information? Right? How would it make them feel? I think if we're honest, we sort of make you feel a little bit unsettled, you know, thinking, oh, that's a bit sad, you know. But no, what Paul's saying here is that God is just. And when we say God is just, he's saying God is doing what is right, perfectly right, as he does perfectly good. Right? And he's saying there will come a time one day when you will be separated from that, as they will be separated from you. There will come a time when God has promised that he will make the time for us to be in a place where it's just all good, all just, where God is, no more tears. We struggle with understanding that with human minds. I have a man who rings me up once a month, rings up most clergy in Sydney once a month, in fact, to argue this very point, all right? And he's most probably listening in right now. But it's hard for him to understand that God is perfectly good and perfectly just. And things like this, we will one day say, amen, you did the right thing, God. Even though now we might struggle with that thought, for our mind and our concept of good and just is never as perfect as God's judgment of just and good. Do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? We'll always have that tension that's there. And this is where God has kept us in this space, a little lower than the angels. He's crowned us with glory in God, Psalm 8. Right. One day we will know as he knows, and we'll be able to say, amen. You are right, God. Praise be to you. And that's why it says, and that will happen when the Lord Jesus returns. And he's saying to the church in Thessalonica, don't panic. Christ has not returned yet. He will return, and he will do all of this. All right. You haven't had the fear of missing out. Right? Be encouraged. You're safe. You're secure. And may God grant you the grace and peace to know just that. And that's finally what he prays, isn't it, in verses 11 to 12, before he goes into correcting in chapter 2, which we'll look at next week. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling. What's Paul saying there? He's basically saying that you may realize that you are worthy of God's calling. You are. You know, God has chosen you. God has made you his child. He's forgiven you. It's right to be in his kingdom. You are worthy to be in there, not because of anything we've done, it's because God's chosen us. And we are right. It's right for us to feel this way about being in God, in Jesus Christ. And that by his power he may bring to fruition every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. That everything you do, we will see, has God's hand in it. That you are encouraged. We pray this, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have gone straight into correcting the teaching. He could have gone straight into going into panic mode and gone, oh my goodness, and tried to put out all the bushfires that are there. But the first thing he needed to do in heavenly wisdom was to remind the church that they're safe. They haven't missed out. Right? The fear of missing out. Right? God is just. God is good. You are safe in God. You are safe in Christ. And look, the proof of that in the way in which you live amongst persecution and trials and difficulties. How hard it might be to be a Christian in your family. How hard it might be to be a Christian in your community, in your place of work, or place of sport and recreation, right? In the place amongst in the church itself sometimes. Right? In Christ we are safe. As sure as Christ has come in the past, he will come again. And it's in his timing. Grace and peace. Well, I wonder what Paul has to say about those who have done some fibs in the church, have told a whopper, all right? What's he going to do next chapter? Well, you can read ahead. And those, basically what we've done today is the questions in your little Bible study time. So if you choose to do that in your Bible study groups or in your own personal quiet times, you can do so on the back of the sermon notes that are there. Let me pray. Actually going to pray the prayer that Paul prayed in such a way that it's for us here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, make us worthy of your calling as we wait for Christ's return. As sure, Jesus, you came in the first place, you will come again and take us to be with you, that where you are, we will be also. No more tears, perfect good, perfect justice. We pray for those, Father, who do not know you. We pray for them, and we ask, Father, that we may be ready to share the good news of the gospel with them, as you have asked us to do when the time comes. We pray for them. Bring to fruition our every desire for goodness and our every deed that's prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in us, and we in him, according to your grace, and that of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let's read the psalm together on the screen. Lord my God, I put my trust, I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Glory to God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, so now and forever. Amen. So Rosemary will come in. Oh, sorry. Please stand and let's sing the second song.
patient love. Hear our hearts, hear our minds, hear the echoes of the words we cannot find. Be our home, be our guide, in our wanderings of weakness break our pride. Not for ease shall we pray, but for strength that we might walk with you this day. So we pray in faith, your will be done, as we long to see your kingdom come. We ask with one voice, we ask with one voice, through Jesus Christ.
Remain standing as we say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Together, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A prayer as we commence the season of Advent. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Your word, O God, has given us life. Your word incarnate, Jesus Christ, has given us new life by dying and rising to life. May your word transform us this Advent season, dispelling the darkness of fear and mistrust. May your word dwell among us as always, awakening our hearts to your enduring love, justice and peace. Send your Holy Spirit upon our Christmas preparations. We often feel anxious over many things, so help us to look forward to your coming among us. We are all blessed in so many ways, yet we long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We often have heavy hearts, so we seek the joy of your presence. Give us courage to be your people, to show your justice, grace, mercy, peace, and love, and to be a part of your transformation of our world until the day when the baby whose birth we celebrate comes again in peace, and we sing your praise and glory forevermore. Amen." So let us all pray that we may be ready for Christ's coming. All-powerful God, increase our strength of will for doing good, that Christ may find an eager welcome at his coming and call us to his side in the kingdom of heaven, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for your worldwide church, for the faithfulness of your people in every land, and the unity we share through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for Christians in other countries, especially where there is suffering, war, persecution, and danger. We particularly pray for all peoples in Israel and Gaza as the war between Israel and Hamas continues. We ask for your protection over those who are displaced, injured, grieving, and distressed, that the war will end quickly and that love and peace will prevail. We pray that Christian citizens and aid workers may be a light in the middle of this darkness and reflect the light and love of Christ. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill all your ministers with your Spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the work of Anglicare this month and praise you, Father, for raising up this organization and the people who work and volunteer under its name, for the good of those in need and for your glory. We thank you for the opportunity to share the joy of Christmas with people in need through the Toys and Tucker program. We praise you for the great response from this congregation, from playgroup and St Andrew's Preschool to collect food and toys this year. We thank you that through generosity, Anglicare will be able to provide Christmas food and gifts to families who would otherwise go without. We thank you again for Anglicare and the initiative at Toys and Tucker that helps us to serve people in need in our community, enrich lives and share the love of Jesus. Amen. We thank you, Lord, so much for the opportunity of time together with our families, friends and church family as we enter the Christmas season. We bring to you those who are preparing these events, that you will give them wisdom and clear direction as they seek to bring the gospel to those who will hear. And we pray for these upcoming Christmas events, for the playgroup Christmas, St Andrew's Preschool end of year activities, for the Christmas carols event, for playgroup and preschool family carols, our congregational Advent and Christmas services, and Christmas lunches. We also pray for the services at Chiswick Manor and at Bayswater Gardens. We pray that our church services and the Christmas activities will lead people to Christ, and those that love you will be strengthened in their relationship with Jesus, that all will be filled with joy and happiness as they come together to celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Saviour and King. And so we respond together in unity. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us with justice and truth. Let your way be known among all nations, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. And hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
Our announcement time, and we like to just acknowledge all your contribution and participation on Toys and Tucker, and thanks to Janice. You can see all the boxes at the foyer, so we just like to thank everybody and like to invite Trevor to come and share.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for sharing in Toys and Tucker. It's a great lot that's been here. They're collecting it up tomorrow. It's been a wonderful way of contributing towards the needs of others at this time. In your bulletin are all the Christmas details that are happening, so you're up to date. You can stick them in your diary as to what's happening around the place for Christmas. On the back table, there are two forms. I'd like you to put your names down there. One is that on Christmas Eve, that's the 24th of December, we've got a carols service here of Bible readings and prayer. And after that, we'd like to host, as we do last year, I think not the year before, but last year, a luncheon. And if you're able to be there on that day, please just put your name down there and we'd love you to come and have lunch with us, a Christmas luncheon, all right? So put your name down there. The second is that we're going to be celebrating the fact that each one of us God brought into the world, okay? Birthday Sunday. It's going to be on the first Sunday of each month, starting in January. And so I'd like you not to put your date of birth, just the month that you're born in. All right? So if you like, for me, it was in October. So my name's down there. For Rosemary, it was in April. Of course I know what it is. That's right. It's in April, and so you can put it down there. And so please do that so that we can do that. And we'll work with the morning tea people to maybe have a cake and to pray for you at that time. But I think it's a lovely little way of increasing the love that we ought to have for one another. Number of things have happened with summer starting. BCA have sent out the new prayer notes and information. If you want a copy of those, there's about 12 of them on the mission table out there. And the latest edition of summer edition of the Eternity magazine is there. And there is plenty of the magazines of Southern Cross that are at the front door. And again, Essential Jesus, which is the little booklet of Luke's gospel, that if anyone is inquiring about knowing the gospel, or if anyone comes up to you and says, what do you Christians believe, please just take one of those and say, hey, here, take one of these and read this. All right, and if you have any questions, come and talk to me about it later on. But it's a great little book to hand out to. It's just the Gospel of Luke with what it means to be taking Jesus seriously. Now, yesterday, there were some exciting things happened. What did some of the things that you ladies did last, and some men did, last week, yesterday? What was that? Ate lots of lollies. Lots of chocolates. Is that right? Well, let me just, now I've got to get the technology all working.
And the 5 and 10
glistening once again
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store,
but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Now there's a tree in the Grand Hotel,
one in the park as well,
the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start,
and the thing that will make them ring
is the carol that you sing right within your
of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots
is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk
is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And the Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
There you go. Over to you, young man. Here we go. There's more up there.
That was a lot of fun, and thank you to Rosemary to organize a lot of things and the team. Yeah, that was great. Now, we have carols and the Christmas story on the 24th of December, Christmas Eve, at 9:30 a.m., followed by Christmas luncheon, and also Christmas on Christmas Day at 9 a.m. on the 25th of December. So you might like to invite some friends and families to come. Thank you for giving us, you know, financially, regularly, so that we can continue to do our work in this church. So if you'd like some prayer after service, Fiona and Brian, I can't see where Fiona is, but oh, there she is. Fiona and Brian will be here to pray for you. So please come to the front of the church here. And after church, as usual, please stay for morning tea and continue the fellowship. So the last song, we'll invite musicians to come forward and see how we go. I think we did pretty well the first time.
My heart
In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give of ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.